there's a ground ball through that pulled in infield, and it's 1-0 Royals as Massey scores. So there you are. You take advantage of all four infielders in for a play at the plate.
And the pitch. Swing and a line drive. One hop to Junior. He backhands. Long throw. Got him. And Ramon Urias, who was the runner at third, crosses home plate and smashes his helmet into the ground. And that about sums it up for the Orioles. The 1-1. Junior, it's a ground ball up the middle, and that is going to be a diving play by Urias. Throw to first on a bounce is late. And Bobby Witt Jr. reaches with an infield single, so no great play on the infield this time to beat him to first base. And Bobby Witt Jr. with an infield single drives in Kyle Isbell, and the Royals take a 2-1 lead.
Brings the count down to 1-2, and a swing and a miss, and the Royals are going to advance.
Hey guys, now we go!
To the ALDS in New York on Saturday. Welcome in. It's Cody and Gold on a Thursday. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you back in studio today. We've had a fun couple days hanging out with all of you, watching some Royals baseball, and I think everybody is all in finally. Maybe there was a few of you out there who were still skeptical. How can you not be all in after this team takes care of business in Baltimore and sets up an American League divisional series, now guaranteeing at least one home game, as a matter of fact, during a 5-game series against the Yankees and the Royals, the first team in MLB history to lose 100 games in 1 year.
Hell
and
yeah.
Come around the other way the next season with a playoff series victory. Unbelievable, really, honestly. It is an unbelievable sequence of events for this last year for the Royals. And to go and handle business in Baltimore was sensational yesterday yet again with unreal pitching.
That's what it really boils down to, is that the Royals are in the ALDS because they gave up one singular run in two games to the Baltimore Orioles, including not a single run out of the bullpen and only one run out of Seth Lugo, who only ended up going 4 1/3 last night. But who cares? Q pulled the right trigger. Everything worked out. And then we're talking about a team heading to the ALDS again, which goes back to the same thing we said like when they started this thing. For whatever reason it is, I don't care if it's the punishment we have to take for 10 years of watching the Royals flail around having no success. The second they're actually in the playoffs, y'all better watch your ass. Because once the Royals get in, well, then it's no holds bar and anything can happen. And the Royals, like, proving that point to the rest of baseball every time they find themselves in the postseason. And the Orioles learn the hard way in a 2-game sweep. And I hope the Yankees have to start learning the hard way on Saturday.
Right. I mean, the same way we wanted the Orioles here when we talked about potential wild card matchups, we wanted the Orioles because that was a team that wasn't playing great. That was a team that you had an advantage in pitching. And boy, yep. Oh boy, did even more so than we ever thought that they had an advantage in pitching in that series. And now I think the same thing applies to the Yankees, who have been sitting around for, by the time we get to Saturday, what, it'll be like 9 days or so between their games of really playing some baseball. There's no way they want a piece of the Kansas City Royals. There is no freaking way after watching the way this starting pitching and in particular the bullpen went out there. Bobby Witt Jr. with two game-winning hits in his first two postseason games, which puts him in historic company as well. He's one of only two players in history to drive in that game-winning run in two straight games. I mean, this
pretty
is
good
a
company. Jimmy Fox, his photo's in black and white, in case you're curious, the last time that happened.
This is a dangerous team, and we'll talk about the offense. Hey, can they win a series with this offense hitting this way? I get that. Or there's a conversation to be had. But sure, this is a really dangerous team. Denny Matthews last night on the call on 96.5 The Fan was talking about beware if you're the Yankees. You know, you got to basically be careful taking on this team now with the momentum that they have, the confidence this young bunch of Royals have, and the pitching is going out there and it's been flat out dominant. And I think there's so many different things to discuss, and we'll take your calls throughout the show today, guys, 913-586-7965. But to not give up a single run, this bullpen, it was one thing after the first game, 1-0 victory, but now to go and only give up one run yesterday, the bullpen, not a single run, but one run period, that was not the formula any of us saw throughout this magical regular season. It was going to be, at one point we thought, relying on offense, relying on starting pitching. Well, so far it has been relying on starting pitching, but even more relying on the bullpen, which would have been the biggest reason why we all thought at one point this season, majority of the season, that they were going to get eliminated.
Up until 1 week ago, I told you it was the reason why I assume we'll have to watch them exit the playoffs, and it's been the exact opposite of that. Anyone else, and I know this is an analogy we use for other things, anyone else just assume it's like happy learn to putt? I mean, that's the analogy, right? It's like, oops, and you're like, hey, what the hell? I thought your bullpen was bad. And you're like, oh, Royals learned to use the bullpen. And you're like, oh no. Oh, we don't need that. The last time the Royals had a bullpen in the playoffs, it was a nightmare. And look, they had to go deeper into it yesterday. It wasn't just the three guys, the four guys we've talked about. It wasn't just Long and Urseg and Bubich. They were using Schreiber and Zerpa.
How great was he?
In the bases loaded jam. He had good stuff last night. They were using everybody. It wasn't just one guy. It was they had to go deeper into the pen than they've gone in a while, and everybody was nails. And maybe some of this is like pushing the right buttons. A lot of this is just, I can't believe they had made it this far based on where you would have, the season ended last year. I remember those, you know, a year ago yesterday was when we were on the final day of the Royal season. You and I did a watch party at Hollywood Casino with Vinny for the Jets game.
That's right.
And a whole bunch of Royals showed up. MJ was there and Bobby Witt Jr. and a bunch of other, and Vinny and a bunch of other guys from the team showed up. And we had just gotten done watching the clips being like, you know, it's tough to end the season this way. And we thought it should have gone, and they'd won 56 games. You're like, oof, I don't know what this season's going to be, but hopefully better than 56. I'll be honest, no chance I thought they'd be in the ALDS at this point. But now, I think anything's possible.
Of course.
I think they can win the World Series.
That's the beautiful thing about October baseball. How many times, though, did we say, look at the Diamondbacks from a year ago? Look at the Diamondbacks for all the talk. Hey, they're not beating the good enough teams. You know, they're just beating up on the White Sox, which they did. But, you know, their record against quality teams, their record against the Orioles, their record against the Yankees. So now all of that. Those were all points people brought up, and I guess fair at the time, but also, like, this is why it doesn't matter. You get in the dance, and in a short series, a best of three, and still coming up a best of five, it's still not a seven-game series. You can still set up your rotation in a great way because you handled your business yesterday. You're going to be able to go, and they announced already their game one, game two starters. You can go Waka and Reagans in game one, game two Reagans in the Bronx.
Yep.
It's a beautiful way to set up the series again, and that's why they've got a shot to do something special again in this series. And we get playoff baseball, not just back with the Royals, but playoff baseball back in Kansas City. That was what I really wanted, man. It was awesome to be in the dance again. But I wanted this city to have a playoff game again.
Same.
I wanted to be able to go to Kauffman Stadium. And as you said, maybe for one of the final few times to have a postseason game there over the next 5-6 years or whatever, depending on, well, no matter what happens with the site, we know that will be it in 2030-31. So that moment, and even watching some of the other games last night, late game was the Milwaukee game against the Mets.
One was exciting.
They have a best of three. They have a game three tonight. But seeing the energy in their stadium, the rally towels, I can't wait to see that aerial shot coming live to Kauffman Stadium on Wednesday night with hopefully a chance to clinch the series. And hopefully, you know, maybe it's split, who knows, against the Yankees. That's what I cannot wait for. But you said it about the long shot stuff. This team was 10,000 to one.
So if I'd bet $100 on them, I'd have a chance to win $1 million.
I believe that would be right. That's the right math, right? 10,000 to one at one point to win the World Series back at the beginning of the year. Only four teams had worse odds, like the A's and the White Sox were some of those teams. And here they are currently 12 to 1, 14 to 1, depending on what book you're looking at to win the World Series.
I think yesterday's game highlights a lot of why I think the Royals do better in postseason baseball than a lot of other teams, because the Orioles, and yeah, their upcoming opponent, the Yankees, win in what I think are traditional 162 games away. Put the ball over the fence a lot.
Yeah.
Hit a lot of homers, make some errors, but they make up for it. They got good pitching staffs, but they don't have to be dominant, right? Because they play in certain stadiums, et cetera, et cetera. Yesterday, the game-deciding plays were an infield single from Bobby Witt Jr. that eventually led to the game that was the game-winning RBI because he's so fast he can't get it. A diving stop by Michael Massey in the most critical moment to keep any runs from scoring there, and a strikeout by Angel Zerpa on a ball that was going to hit a dude in the chest.
Yeah, that was crazy. That sequence there.
Like the most pivotal plays in the entire game were the oddball ones. And that's what seems like goes the Royals' way in these situations. The plays that aren't guarantees, the plays that aren't the standard, the normal, the everyday plays. The Massey's got to make this, Bobby's got to be faster, and this guy's just got to try not to swing at a pitch that's coming at him. But he couldn't, and they couldn't hold up, and the Orioles suffered the fate, as a lot of teams have suffered against the Royals in the postseason when they get there. And then that's how we're back in the LDS. From the Kauffman stuff, can't wait. The ticket prices, I will tell you, you could have bought a ticket to get into the stadium a week ago for a very nominal fee. Perfectly normal.
Right through the Royals.
Right through Royals.com for a very normal price. I want you to know that if you're like, what's the atmosphere going to be like or how sold out is this game going to be? The get-in price to sit in the bleeds of Kauffman Stadium will set you back at least a couple $100. At least. The Orioles, I saw someone I know sat lower level for $30 for that wild card game. I know Kansas City's better than that. That's why this city deserves playoff baseball. When we get it, we thrive. We live in it. It's the greatest moment of our lives, and I hope that that continues.
And the vibes in Baltimore heading into the series, that was a team that was disappointing them. They won 100-plus a year ago. They did not play well down the stretch. Yes, it was afternoon baseball. Yes, it was cloudy and all that. All that contributed to
it was
a fan
cloudy.
Base.
What a sad excuse.
All that was a fan base that was not excited about their baseball team there in Baltimore. And it's obviously complete opposite, not to mention we're a round further. I have no doubt Kauffman is going to be incredible on Wednesday. And if they need a fifth game or a fourth game, I guess, on Thursday, and then that's when a game four would be in the series. And I agree with the text line. We'll have plenty of time to talk about the Yankees in particular in actual matchups. Fern's going to join us again a little bit later on today, next hour, actually. This weekend, it's all about just to get a split. That's all you're looking for.
Yeah, get one.
Get a split, come back home with a split, and then you still would have a chance to even clinch it at home. I mean, that's
one
all
of the best home teams in baseball all year. Might as well maintain your stadium benefits you more than it benefits the Yankees. It's harder to get, you know, Aaron Judge. We've all looked up the home run numbers. Aaron Judge would have like 9 more home runs than Bobby Wood Jr. if he played every game at Kauffman Stadium. And Bobby Wood Jr. did. So, like, for whatever you know his home run totals were this year, know that they're like 60% of that if he played in a real ballpark, not a joke. And so if you can get it to 1-1 and then come back home, yeah, you've got a massive advantage in evening up this series and then giving yourself a chance to do it. I like that we have a new batch of Royals to love. That's what part of what made 14 and 15 so special is. The only Royals players I cared about were like Bo Jackson and George Brett. And George Brett was like, I was still pretty young, right? Then other than that, all the Royals players I cared about, I told you, were on bad teams. Now, you and I can enjoy the fact that Michael Massey, a guy who's been on the team for only a couple of years, is making diving stops. Or I don't care if Vinny Pasquantino is earning $200 worth of Taco Bell gold. We can appreciate fun playoff stories that come out of this stuff.
I saw the Taco Bell order. Why not? Why not?
Only 30 sauces is my only question. Seem like the ratio of food to sauce.
Depends what you order, man. Depends on what you order.
I mean, it depends what you order. You need sauce for anything you order at Taco Bell.
Yeah, but if you're getting are you getting the burritos? Or are you getting the I think not all the tacos. You don't always have to have the taco sauce on the tacos. It just kind of depends, man. Were they getting a little of the the cheesy roll up crunch wrap stuff? It just depends. $200 at Taco Bell. That's some serious damage. That is some serious damage. I saw the name on the Uber Eats order. It said Vance N. Now, I don't know if that's a staff member or that's one of the fake names that they use for the Uber orders. But I did see that. Someone said they got the Royals at, what was that? Would that be 20 plus 25,000? So what's that? 250-1. I still think I've messed up the wording of the Royals odds there. So they were plus 10,000. Not 10,000 to one. That's what I meant to say.
Oh, plus
10,000.
Okay, so I wouldn't win $1 million.
Yeah, I said that.
They
wrong.
Weren't
plus,
really.
Plus 10,000, not 10,000 to one.
Yeah. That's a slightly different ratio. Yes. Now, that would still mean I would win $10,000, which I would still be interested in, or $100,000, I guess, depending on the amount you wagered. But still, the point is, they were a massive, 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 massive long shot. They were not supposed to be here. You and I had said before, getting to the playoffs made this season a win. And the same thing applies. The Yankees have not just a little more pressure on them, infinitely, 100 times, 1,000,000 times more pressure. They haven't won a World Series since A-Rod was on their roster. Do you know how long ago that's been? Plus, this does give me unfettered access tomorrow to just really hammer home the Derek Jeter's overrated point. You know what? Been a long
what
time.
What does Jeter have to do with this team?
Been a long time since we saw the old Yankees in the postseason. Old Jeets feels like he could get a couple of shots fired here.
This one, see, Jeter to me has nothing to do with this. If you want to bring up the 70s or 80s and go back to some of the punches being thrown and things like that with Brett and Patek, et cetera, sure. Jeter itself, the Royals and Jeter didn't have a whole lot of showdowns. You know what I mean? That was more 70s, 80s. Yeah. But you're right. I mean, over our favorite stat, I think, anytime we talk Yankees as it relates to Kansas City baseball,
who has a World Series more recently?
In the last decade, the last 20 years, and like all the money that they have spent and all the talk about the Yankees, and they really haven't shown much. But you're 100% right. The Yankees have all the pressure, even more than what we discussed with the Orioles.
The Yankees are
the favorites right now to win the World Series. The Yankees manager Aaron Boone will be fired if they lose this series. Aaron Judge, I was talking with Bob and Dusty. I was in on their show talking betting, but Bob brought up the point, and I think he's right. It's the most pressure is on Aaron Judge, period, maybe of any player in sports right now, period. If you consider how great he is, but also he hasn't taken that team to a championship. Like there's
and
just
now
so
he's
much,
making gobs
so
of money.
Much more pressure on the New York Yankees. And there's still, I think, the disrespect factor that they look at. I still believe their fans, that city, looks at Kansas City, and they don't they don't respect us at all.
I agree.
I don't think they respect us at all, and that's why I can't wait for this game on Saturday, and I can't wait for the Royals to kick their ass throughout this series and to get to an ALCS and put them in their place. That's what I'm excited about. And, of course, the games are right here on Saturday, 96.5 The Fan, and on Sunday, you'll hear the game on The Fan AM because, of course, Chiefs football. Monday night's going
to
be incredible.
Home of the Chiefs, so you don't have to go anywhere. On 96.5 The Fan, you'll hear the Chiefs, and over on 610 AM The Fan, you will hear the Royals. Drew, just out of curiosity, before we talk about Bobby Wood Jr. some more, the last time the Yankees won the World Series was 2009. 15 years ago. It was also the last World Series they went to. What were you doing in 2009?
2009, I would have been in just turning 14.
Okay, I was graduating high school in 09.
Graduating high school. How long ago does that feel?
That's a very long time.
I was in eighth grade in 2009.
The Yankees have only been to two World Series in the last 21 years. They went to one in 2003, and then they went to that one in 2009. The Royals have been to two World Series in the last 20 years. Like, I mean, they have not been the old Yankees. They get to, like, hang up the trophies the way, like, I think other, like, NCAA tournament teams, basketball programs don't matter anymore. Like, I'm really proud of you, Indiana, for all those titles and the aughts. No one cares anymore. The Yankees haven't been playoff relevant in 15 years. They haven't even been in a World Series in 15 years. So, yeah, they lose to the Royals on this one, a team who's been to two World Series in that time. Embarrassing.
The other thing out of this Orioles series, I think case closed, and it almost looks foolish now to look back at the Bobby Witt versus Gunnar Henderson.
Oh, yeah. That was like a mid-season
storyline.
That was so stupid.
During the All-Star break, the All-Star game, Gunnar was the starter in the All-Star game over Bobby. And I get it. At that point in time, Gunnar's numbers were really, really impressive. But now it looks foolish. It's not even close. Bobby Witt Jr. is one of the top two or three baseball players in baseball, period, right now. It's not close. Shohei Ohtani, when he's pitching, he is the best player in baseball because he's a two-way player. Other than that, it's Bobby Wood Jr. That's the answer.
Yep.
And we're going to talk bigger picture with the city here in 12 minutes with both the Chiefs and the Royals, but think about that. That was an actual storyline and debate earlier was, man, Bobby Wood Jr., would you rather have Gunnar Henderson or Bobby Wood Jr.? I don't know, but Gunnar Henderson should be starting the All-Star game, and he did, over Bobby Wood Jr. How foolish does that look? They shut down all the stars, by the way, in that Orioles lineup. I mean, you go through...
They went like 3 for 700, I feel like, in the series.
Gunnar was 0 for 7. Jordan Westbrook, 1 for 6. Santander, 1 for 8. Colton Cowser, 1 for 7. Ali Rutschman, 1 for 8. And that was the 1 through 5 hitters for the Orioles.
I hope that what this series turns into, or this playoff run turns into, is Bobby Witt Jr.'s play version of what Patrick Mahomes used to do to all the people who dissed him. In this series, he got to take down the guy who got selected number one overall above him and be like, sucks to be you. He got to take down the shortstop, right? And be like, I'm better than you, sorry. Next up will be the guy who's going to win the MVP over him.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron Judge be like, you know what? I feel like sticking it to you too. I hope this becomes the Bobby Witt redemption tour, and not that he needs that, but just like the tour to take everybody down who somehow ended up being selected ahead. It's his version of counting to 8 because Mitchell Trubisky was taken ahead of him. Whatever it is, we've already gotten a little taste of that because the Baltimore Orioles series gave you two things all at once. And those stats become even more relevant. More wins than Shohei Ohtani, more wins than Mike Trout, more wins than Aaron Judge, more wins than some great players in postseason series, because some of those players haven't made it, and when they have made it, they've stunk. He has made it to two postseason games, and he's been the game-winning RBI in both. In both games, he was the difference.
He's one of two players ever to do that. So it's not just winning. It's what you said there at the end. It's that he was responsible for the game-winning hits and game-winning RBI. That's what's remarkable. Props, by the way, also to the Royals social media team. They absolutely crushed it in terms of firing back at the Baltimore Orioles. You guys may have seen this earlier at the beginning of the series. The Orioles put out a tweet that said, the show's about to begin, and it said, seats taken. And it was like a throne, right? Like the throne. And the Royals responded with, you come for the crown, you best not miss. And it's the graphic of Bobby now sitting in what was the empty chair. And it has seats taken and seats crossed off with blue. It's a great job by the Royals social media team.
They were sitting on that one, huh?
Of course they were. They were ready.
They cooked there. I think that's fair to say. They absolutely destroyed the Baltimore Orioles social media team on that one, which good for them. Ray Gunn already put out a shirt because you can't blame him for that. You and I are both wearing... No, you're wearing a Charlie Hustle shirt.
This is a hey, hey, hey.
Yeah, and I'm wearing a Ray Gunn. The vibes are great.
The vibes are great. I mean...
This is inarguable at the moment. The vibes are
certainly great. The vibes were great. Once again, thank all of you that went out to Jefferson's the last 2 days. We had a blast out there, so thanks to them for hosting us, but thanks to all of you. Yesterday, I'll be honest, the energy was even better throughout the entire game. Day one, I thought, wow, really great crowd, great environment, and it was. Yesterday... Not just at the very end when they ultimately clinched, but throughout that game, there was a little more juice.
A lot of tense moments,
there was a few more blue refreshers, a few more rally shots, I think, were happening yesterday. I think they ran out of Coors Light at one point.
We tapped the keg.
Like the sixth inning or the
It wasn't even that long. I tried to get maybe my second beer and
It was a great time. It was a great time. We can't wait. We were going to be out, I believe, at Kauffman Stadium for at least that one home game, if needed. We'll have more details maybe next week and on Monday and everything, but that's the plan, man. And you look at the remaining teams. We know there's still one series that has to be decided on the National League side, the Brewers and the Mets, and that was a great game last night. I can't wait to watch game three of that and the energy and the stress, basically, I'm sure that Brewers and Mets fans are feeling. But also, the American League Central has three teams in the ALDS. Guardians are going to take on
the Central all leading up to the year.
Yeah.
Trash division.
Yeah, it was like, oh, man, you don't have to win 90 games to win this division. It stinks. Well, three teams made it.
Almost
maybe,
a fourth.
Look, the White Sox are terrible, but maybe, just maybe, they were historically bad because the Tigers, Guardians, and Royals are also pretty darn good. Three teams in the Central were guaranteed at least one AL Central team to make it to the ALCS. We could have an all ALCS AL Central, if that makes sense.
More than anything, this speaks to why I think the Royals might be better than outsiders think. Because now if you take the entire picture into fold, the Minnesota Twins only missed the playoffs by a few games. And as of a month ago, Gold, they were the top wildcard team, or the second wildcard team. They were as good as just about any other playoff team in the American League. So if you look at the Royals and you're like, well, let's talk about the problems they had throughout the year, when the offense went through a lull or when the bullpen struggled. Well, it might have turned out for them, not just the White Sox, that the Royals were up in the best division in all of baseball. And because these teams have been tested, the Guardians, the Royals, the Tigers, they were kind of better fit for a postseason run because they've been having to fight for their lives the entire year. Everyone thought the AL East was going to be the division with three playoff teams. They got two. The Central was the one with actually three in it. I mean, that speaks to how difficult the division was.
And going forward, too. I mean, think bigger picture. I know we're all focused in right now. We'll worry about some of that stuff in the offseason. But, it's important for the Royals with where they're at in their organization. You look, the Tigers aren't going anywhere. They're a young, young team.
Yep.
The Guardians always just seemingly are competitive because of their pitching. And then the Twins might reset. I don't know what they're going to do this offseason. But, the Central it's going to be more challenging for years to come than we thought. And that's why also another reason to capitalize right now while you're in it. And you get the big bad New York Yankees on Saturday night in the Bronx. Cannot wait. Seth Lugo, yesterday to win when he wasn't his best.
No.
Also makes you feel almost better about the situation.
And they quick triggered it, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, to win when he's not his best means, do I think Lugo's not going to be his best two times in a row? No, I'll take the odds that Lugo's probably a lot better the next time. All that just makes me feel more confident in the following series.
Are you getting a little nervous? So the Royals are in the American League Divisional Series. They're 12-1 to win the World Series. Way back when we had a discussion on this show, and you said what? You said you were willing to get a tattoo if the Royals get to the World Series or win.
So
get,
I looked
was it
up
get to the World Series.
I looked up the date on this, April 12th.
April
12th. Do you know how long ago that was in this? That's 6 months ago. It was no risk six months ago. This is what I said. All right, the Royals win the World Series this year. Okay. I'll get that tattooed on my body.
Who gives a bleep?
We're winning games.
Okay.
I will tattoo my very first tattoo in the history of my life. That will go on my body if the Royals win the World Series this year. I mean, I can't deny any part of the words being said there.
Time stamped from April 12th.
April 12th at 12:27, apparently.
Now that's locked in. Are you going to try to renegotiate if this team gets to the World Series? Then you're really sweating. I think you have a couple. You don't have to sweat yet. They got to get to an ALCS for you really to start worrying.
They got to get through two series before we get to the World Series. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest. It concerns me to get a tattoo as someone who does not have one.
And it's going on your right ass cheek or left?
Which one? No, it's not going on. I'm not putting it on my ass. That's not where it's going. But when you look at what the situation is, I hadn't been a man of my word in the strip club, and I think that that's been made very clear. I will personally guarantee on this show that the Royals going to win the World Series. I will still go get
now,
that
tattoo.
Now,
do you want to swap out and two for one?
I'm not asking
for
a negotiation.
Do you want a two for one? I'm willing to negotiate on this. You can forego the two-year bet that you have not come through with, the strip club bet, if you're willing to bump that up to just a World Series appearance. World Series appearance.
A World Series appearance?
But you can,
I'm getting
the
tattoo?
You can get rid of the strip club bet forever.
I think this is something you have to...
Can I think about it for a little bit?
Sure, you can think about it till the end of the show.
I don't even know if you have to think about it, Cody.
Are you saying he should do it?
I think you should do it.
Do the trade, be done with the strip club bet.
It's tough to get a tattoo, though, the Royals don't win a World Series.
But it's not,
feels like I got to wait for that, kind of.
But it's not like they. It's not like you're getting a World Series champs 2024 tattoo.
That's right.
It's Vinny saying, who gives a bleep, we're winning games.
And that would be a fact. They would be winning games.
The optics of it are not as bad as...
You don't have Sean Barber's wife to save you on this one. She saves Drew on the tattoo bet.
No, I don't have anyone to save me.
Vinny's not going to say, don't get my saying on your body. It's not going to be a thing.
No, I'm going to actually ask Vinny to go. Will you please come? Will you come here, please? Will you be my guest for this thing?
Well, I figured if they get to the World Series and you agree to the renegotiation, I'm figuring that tattoo's getting done like in studio during the World Series.
Are we getting in studio?
Why not? On camera and everything.
Isn't it a good idea to have a tattoo artist travel?
What? You think somebody's never...
I don't think it would be that hard.
I mean, LeBron James, he doesn't go to the tattoo parlor. Someone comes to him, you know?
Yeah,
I don't think it would be that hard.
What's the difference? Cody Tapp, LeBron James, same thing.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, they are winning games, so who gives a... And
Someone says I'm being too generous.
It'll be the actual word.
I'm being too generous to even offer you this. I think this is a fair offer. They make the World Series, and you can pay off both bets. And if they don't make the World Series, then you're done with the strip club bet, too. Think about that.
Oh, man, that is tempting. To finally just wash that one away forever.
Just be done with it forever.
Not to think about
I'll let you think about that. Coming up next, though, let's talk about the golden era of Kansas City sports right now and what is going on in this city. My goodness.
I love you, KC. This is why I wanted to come here and stay. This means everything. We're just getting started.
Bobby Witt Jr., two game-winning hits to move the Royals into the American League Divisional Series. Coming up in about a half hour, we'll check in with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. He was on late last night. I think I was 9:30 or so. He was on the air feeling good. And we continue our Royals coverage throughout the day today and throughout the next week at least. We at least know we got this for basically another week at minimum.
Minimum 6 days?
Yep. At least through next Wednesday. That's the minimum.
Man, remember when we were talking about how we just wanted the Royals to matter in July?
And here we are.
I mean, do you remember those conversations?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like, I would just like the Royals to matter by the All-Star break was a real conversation I think we had on this show, because the previous time they didn't matter to the All-Star break. And then we were having a slightly different conversation. Now, not a problem anymore. Not a problem.
We have mentioned this golden era of sports time and time again in the last 12 to 24 months, I guess. Yeah. Just add this to it. And you step back and you almost laugh.
It's like, it is kind of comical.
Are you kidding me? Like, are you kidding me? Anybody that grew up in this city, we all know how rough it was for so long.
As a sports fan?
As a sports fan. And now to sit here, the Chiefs and Royals have more playoff wins in Baltimore than the Orioles and Ravens do since 2014. Okay, the Royals, they're combined 5-5-3. We, of course, look at the Chiefs and multiple Super Bowl appearances, three rings, going for a three-peat now with Patrick Mahomes having the best quarterback in maybe NFL history, maybe the best coach in NFL history by the time both of their careers are done. And a Royals team that went from 56 to now an American League Divisional Series that has Bobby Wood Jr., who is no question a top three player. I think other than Shohei, he's the best player in baseball, period, while we have, as we said, with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, it is the golden era, and we're going to look back, I don't know, 30 years from now and think about these days that we're all living in right now. And there's also some much younger than us out there that have never seen anything but winning. And this is as good as it gets, man. This is as good as it gets. And it's, we're so spoiled right now. And it is fun every once in a while to just step back for like, just like 2 minutes and think about everything we've all been able to experience since 2017. Hell, I'll really just say 2015 this day.
I would say if you're like a 20-year-old kid, what a blessed life. 20 years Man. Old, at 10 years old, the Royals were going to back-to-back World Series, winning a title. Then right after that, Andy Reid showed up and Patrick Mahomes started winning Super Bowls. That might be the prime age. But even for you and I mean, now it is dominated. The last 11 years, you know, 10 straight years from 2014 to now, you and I have been sitting around while the Chiefs have won three Super Bowls. The Royals have won a World Series and been to two, are back in the ALDS. And yeah, I get it. There were some lean Royals years in there, but I always kind of equate it back to the whole city. A lot in this city has changed in a decade. Like, just tons. The old purpose-built stadium for a women's professional soccer team down at the riverfront. And they're in the postseason too, by the way. If you go back 1 year, the MLS title for Sporting in 2013 and everything else, it just feels like the city's had a different
draft. I mean, keep going, man.
It's the energy of the city has certainly grown significantly during that time. But from a strictly sports perspective, hot damn, there is no way you are ever in your life gonna get a run better than these last 2 years. Three Super Bowls and a World Series. We only have two of the four professional sports. We don't have like some big, large, we don't also have the NBA to lean on and the NHL.
I assume if we had an NBA team again, I'm assuming we'd be winning championships and playoff games
too. I'll tell you this much. I at least know if Baltimore had any of those teams, we'd be beating their ass. Yeah. Wouldn't matter what sport they were playing. They got an MLS team because they're definitely losing to Sporting Kansas City in some heartbreaking playoff game sometime in the next couple of years. That city has to, I told you before, they have to hate us.
Of course. I mean, they should, honestly. They should. We have just own them and crush their dreams time and time again. And now, I mean, it is definitely one of those things. We are in the head of everybody in the city of Baltimore. It's not even close. And so, yeah, there's just whenever they meet again, whether the Ravens maybe in the Chiefs play in the playoffs this year. Yeah. I don't know how Ravens fans will be confident at all when they play the Chiefs, if they play the Chiefs in a divisional round or AFC title game again, whether it's in Baltimore or in Kansas City. I mean, it's just hilarious almost where we're at right now with Kansas City sports. And the great news, what's exciting, because of the two names we mentioned, Bobby Witt and then Patrick Mahomes across the parking lot, because of those two players and how young they both are, especially Bobby Witt Jr., it's not as if this is the end of it. I know we always say, hey, don't take it for granted. Appreciate, you never know if you'll get back. That is all true. But man, because of these two young stars, and not just stars, the best in their sport, possibly, certainly one already.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't just ending right this second. They're not 38 years old. I mean, that's what's amazing.
And they're both on 10-year contracts. They're not even just here. They're here, man. Last night in postgame, Bobby Wood Jr. said, this is why I stayed. This is why I signed to be here, right? I don't think that's fluff. I think he really understood, and Patrick Mahomes probably showed him that way a little bit. You can thank Patrick Mahomes a little bit for Bobby Wood Jr. saying. He showed what Kansas City will do to support a superstar. People will fall over. They will lay down in the dirt for Patrick Mahomes to walk over them if that's what it takes in order to get to another Super Bowl. They would do the exact same thing for Bobby Wood Jr. They would commit felonies to support the rest. It doesn't matter. You get the point. They'll support anything this team does.
Yeah, there's no Royals super fan robbing banks that I know of yet. Or I guess it could be happening. We just don't know.
If you start seeing a guy that you know and you're like, I don't remember you having this amount of money. How were you in every ALCS and World Series game? Boy, that's peculiar. Your clothes got a lot nicer, too. Might want to keep an eye on the future 30 for 30, I guess, in that case. But honestly, I think it's inarguable. It is the golden era of Kansas City sports, because what would be the comparable? The Royals were great in the 70s and 80s. The Chiefs were not great during that time. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs were great at the beginning of their franchise's history. The Royals didn't even exist. They barely existed when the Chiefs were good the first time. Then a lot of ineptitude from both organizations, if we're being honest. I'll say this. Kansas City, for the cities that hate Kansas City now, right, like Baltimore, I just want you to know that Kansas City paid the tax. They paid the bad tax for a long time.
It wasn't always like this.
They watched Runelvis Hernandez and Scott Ellerton and Tyler Thigpen. We earned it, okay? Kansas City fans went through some stuff in order to finally get this kind of level. So I don't feel bad for
other cities. No, I'm with you. Anytime you talk to other media colleagues in other markets, right, man, you guys just have it way too easy. I'm like, well, we do right now. I go, but this was not always how it was. This was not always how it was as a sports fan in Kansas City. But boy, oh boy, are we living in unbelievable, unbelievable times. This is the reality, and I don't want to kill the vibe. I do have to bring up one thing I want to ask you about this upcoming series against the Yankees. The Royals are coming off a series win against the Orioles. Pitching was incredible. Bullpen, in particular, incredible. They score 3 runs on offense in the series, and they win it.
Swept it. Not even like...
Yeah. I mean, you know. Yeah. Can you keep winning with the offense hitting like this against the Yankees? I think the answer is no. Now, the good news is teams that have relied on home runs, Yankees, don't usually go on playoff runs. But the Royals are going to have to score more than 3 runs in the first 2 against the Yankees if you think they're splitting or winning a game out of this, right? And certainly if you think somehow they're winning 2 in New York. Now, the pitching? I think the pitching is going to hold up. Why would I not? I think that this is where they're at right now with starting pitching in the bullpen. But I do think, if we're being honest with ourselves, I don't think they can win a best-of-5 series with this offense performing like this.
No, they can't win the Yankees series like that. That's not how the last Yankees series went. Actually, go back and do yourself a favor. The Royals played the Yankees, not that series back in, like, I don't know, May when they kicked their teeth in. The Royals played the Yankees 3 weeks ago. It was not that long ago that they saw New York in this one was in Kansas City. In Kansas City, not that long ago. Here's how the 3 series went. They lost the first game 10-4. And before you're like, well, that's not good. The game was 4-4 in the 7th. Do you want to know who gave up the final 6 runs to cost the Royals the lead? They were James McArthur, who's hurt and injured for the rest of the year, and Chris Stratton, who is not on the roster. So the game was 4-4.
Different bullpen, yeah.
Yeah, the game was 4-4, and then bullpen arms who will never pitch for this team in the postseason weren't in there. Okay. Next game, they win 5-0 behind excellent starting pitching. That gives you the big thumbs up. This is just 3 weeks ago. And then the final game, they lost 4-3 in 11 innings. And the same problem existed. Bullpen arms you wouldn't want throwing and will not throw in a playoff game for the Royals ended up costing the game in 11. So these teams are not that far apart. So like
I don't think they're far apart. And because of the pitching, the Royals are going to be in every single one of these games in this series. I have no doubt about it. They have a chance to win every single one of these because of the pitching. I'm just saying that like someone said, hey, good pitching beats hitting. 100% with
typically
you.
Typically does, yeah.
100% with you.
Something.
But I disagree with they can win the exact same
way.
I don't
think so. They got to score a lot more runs.
The pitching is going to have to be great again, but they cannot. I don't believe you're winning 3 games in the series, which is what's required. Yeah. 3 games in the series, 1-0, 2-1, 2-1. I just don't believe that's going to be realistic. They're going to have a game in which they're capable of scoring 4 more runs. I really believe that, even with how great our pitching has been. It just is not usually how you go on a playoff run, is only scoring 1-2 runs a game.
I think particularly what has stood out is that for maybe a month straight, how many times has this team left the bases loaded? How many times? And I do not care about the number of, like, I don't care about the number of outs there were before. Sometimes it's 2 outs. Sometimes it's bases loaded, nobody out, like it was like 10 days ago. Sometimes it's bases loaded, doesn't matter. How many times has this team failed to succeed with the bases loaded? Because yesterday was a sweat and they won it, but they had the bases loaded again. And look, I'm sure the Orioles are telling themselves the same thing. They had the bases loaded with nobody out and did not get the runs that they needed in order to win that game. But the Royals have had a lot of opportunities with the bases loaded and have not been coming through in that situation. So if you're not going to get a ton of hits, you're still going to have to get the timely hits. And right now, offensively, I think Vinny's still kind of rounding back into form. Bobby still looks like Bobby.
The Salvador guy that they, Perez.
He's guessing.
Yeah.
I'll just be honest. He's in guess mode. Salvador Perez looks like he couldn't hit anything right now. He looks uncomfortable up there. He is swinging at pitches 4 feet outside the plate. And while I know he's done that a lot in his career, and for the most part, I'm pretty willing to accept it and understand that, you know, that's part of what makes Salvi good. It's a little high right now. They're going to need more offense.
We've seen this before, I mean, though, from him, and then all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden he comes up with a massive, you know, two RBI double or hits a home run and all is well. I mean, so this is not some unheard of. This is not some unheard of thing. But right now, yeah, I mean, it's frustrating to watch. I get it. But we've seen this before, and it doesn't take much for him usually to snap out of it. There's some other guys that did step up, even though the scoreboard didn't have a bunch of runs on it. Other guys really did step up yesterday. I mean, I thought Michael Massey was awesome yesterday. I know they pulled
what
him late
play,
in the game. I thought he was in incredible Gold Glove defense, and he set the table early though. You know,
he got on base right away.
Set the table. That's exactly what you want from your leadoff hitter. He had some good at bats, saw some pitches too, which helps out everybody else. I thought he was sensational yesterday. I thought Melendez, at least in the field, redeemed himself from the day before with a great catch in left field. It had a 5% catch profitability, according to ESPN's metric they used to determine that. So I thought some other guys did step up, even if it wasn't like...
MJ had a tough day at the plate, but
for sure.
You know what? He made the play that he needed to make.
He did.
And like, I'm not going to get two down on one play if it doesn't cost them a game. Look, if MJ Melendez coming up and having a bad at bat, you know how much more we'd be talking if they lost yesterday about MJ Melendez as a bat and Michael Garcia's bunt attempt? What happened there, man?
Yeah, that
they needed that run.
He was waving at that.
What was going on? He
looked like a player that just had no interest in bunting. Like he was pissed off almost.
He wanted
they
to
asked him to bunt. That's what it looked like to me. Unfortunately, it's not the story out of the game, but that was a horrific attempt. He looked like a player that just had no interest in wanting to bunt. And I know that teams just, these guys just don't practice bunting anymore the way they did back in my day. For those listening,
somebody would say that
back in the 80s or whatever. But that looked just like a disinterested player at the plate when it came to bunting the baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He didn't want to do that. But, you know, so it goes. And it doesn't matter because we don't have to talk about it because they won.
They did.
And they can't make but that's the point. He needs to get that bunt down so they can score the run. There are runs left on the board for this team the first two games, so there are more runs available to them.
Here in 10 minutes, we're going to be joined by our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. Get his perspective on how the Royals got through this series and what can they replicate in the Bronx beginning Saturday night, 5:38 first pitch, right here on 96.5 The Fan. And as Vern pointed out, 17:38 military time. It was a great tweet from Vern last night. Of course, it's 17:38 military time on Saturday. My goodness. So we'll get back to the Royals in a second. Briefly, though, you wanted to talk a bit more about how Andy Reid might be perceived nationally this year, given all the injuries.
I know we're not going to talk a ton about the Chiefs today because it's the Royals' day and deservedly so, but the Chiefs are still 4-0 and back-to-back defending Super Bowl champions back to the it's a great day to be a Kansas City fan. I think because of all the injuries, this is the first time in like 10 years that Andy Reid, albeit still a smaller one, has a chance to win Coach of the Year. Because if he gets the number one seed, in my opinion, if they're the number one team in the AFC, tell me why he isn't. He will have done it without his number one running back, his number one wide receiver, his number two wide receiver, a quarterback who's not playing perfect football. He drags that team in a, I think, still loaded AFC to the number one seed. Why wouldn't he get a little conversation? His biggest Kevin O'Connell's a problem. My lie, he's 4-0.
You think?
And he's doing it with Sam Darnold. So I'm not gonna lie. Kevin O'Connell's a problem here. Yeah. But I mean, why wouldn't he be more deserving of that conversation than he's been in years? It's not stacked. The deck's not stacked for him the same way it's been in past.
So I hear you. I mean, I think we all know how this award goes, though. I mean, everything you said, I agree. Andy Reid, and Bill Belichick for many years when he was with the Patriots, they are graded on a different scale for this award. And it's not fair, right? But that's where they're at. I still think for Andy Reid to get coach of the year, Cody, it takes them having a 15-2, 16-1, and yes, a perfect season. People can say that's ridiculous. I'm just talking about to win the award. The betting markets also have shown that that's typically how this goes. Kevin O'Connell right now is plus 165 up in Minnesota.
This is a pretty big favorite this early.
Dan Quinn is 5-1. Mike McDonald there in Seattle, 7-1. And then Jim Harbaugh, I don't know how he's still 14-1. Like, they're going to lose again this week, I think. But anyway, so, or maybe they're in a bye week, the week after. Their next game, okay? You get the point. Kevin O'Connell is, the problem with what you said about the injuries, I hear you, it's true. Kevin O'Connell's doing it with Sam freaking Darnold, though. That's why. So, no, I do not think you should put money on Andy Reid, who's 35-1, unless you think they're going 15-2. If they go 15-2 or better with the injuries, then yes, then there's an argument to be made. But you better hope Kevin O'Connell doesn't win the NFC North and Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings aren't 13-4.
Yeah, because if they're 13-4, then they can't do it. But because I think it's still like a limitation to what their roster is capable of, knowing that Sam Darnold is playing very well, but typically this catches up with teams, right? Not bad. It means they finish 11-6 instead, like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Not here to say that it hasn't been a hell of a run for Baker Mayfield, and he obviously is a much better quarterback than I ever gave him credit for, and now that he's with a functional organization, things look a lot different for him, and that's fine. But when you look at the way that it's set up, this is the best chance he's had, because he'll never win it otherwise. They'll never give Coach of the Year to Andy Reid.
Well, any year you have...
Because Coach of the Year is expectation versus reality, and if you've got Patrick Mahomes, the expectation is Super Bowl.
The only way I still think he ever wins it is, basically like 16-1, 17-0. Because that of course, gives you the ultimate trump card to potentially be able to win it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, man,
I don't think the number one seed with all these injuries does it? That's not deserving?
Nope. Not how this award usually goes.
That's a shame. I still think that this
there's guys that are without their starting quarterback. Dan Quinn's doing with a rookie quarterback. These are just, and you said it, the biggest part there is the expectation. The Commanders are currently in first place in the NFC East. If they win that division, that right there puts Dan Quinn in a really good position to win. And then Kevin O'Connell, same thing applies. Backup quarterback, you win that division, puts you in a really good spot. It's just really tough for Bill Belichick for all those years, never really won it after a while because of the same reason. You're so good that you can't win it. You're so darn good, you just can't win the award.
Those never give it to you. That's a real shame. Because, I mean, look at what he's doing. The same thing applies, right? Like, in retrospect, vote's still going to end up winning Manager of the Year. It should have been Q. Look at what he did with the team he had. It should obviously have been Q.
Yeah.
Like, and I hate the idea that sometimes these things, like, in-season stuff should matter for the storyline as well. Andy Reid is doing it when someone chopped out one of his legs, maybe took off one of his arms, and now he's got to find a way to do it. If they are the number one seed in a year like that, it stands out to me. Well, all these other coaches fall to the problem is the NFC, as we've mentioned before, is those coaches probably stand his way. It's a reason why he's still a big long shot. I'm just saying he should have better consideration this year than even in other years when I wouldn't typically bring it up because I don't feel like I know he's the best coach, but they're not going to give him the award. And
even if you think the Vikings will eventually come back down to earth. Okay, so Kevin O'Connell, by the way, Kevin O'Connell doesn't have to win 12 games to win the award. They can win the division at 10 or 11 wins and he wins the award. Otherwise, then you still have to beat out Dan Quinn. Then you still have to beat out Mike McDonald. Like, there's just other coaches that had such low expectation, it doesn't take them much. They don't have to win 12, 13, 14 plus games. Andy Reid has to win like 14 and deal with all the scenarios that we're laying out. It's just a tougher challenge to win the Coach of the Year. Up next, let's get right back to the Royals here on 96.5 The Fan. Our Royals insider Josh Vernier going to join us. We'll get his perspective on this series, the win last night, and what they can do against the Yankees on Saturday.